Welcome to Bees Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. My name is Bee Kyle. I'm the president and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber, and I am so glad you joined us. I always enjoy these sessions. I get a chance to have conversations with leaders among us, doing great things within the community and within their organizations. And today, we are talking about leadership within the entrepreneurship ecosystem. I've known my next guest for a few years now. She's a chamber member, an entrepreneur, and a leader within this region. Amanda LaGrange is the CEO of the newly rebranded Repowered. You may know them by their former names, Tech Dump and Tech Discounts. Repositioned name, ongoing commitment as an IT disposition firm and social enterprise. The organization's operations include electronics recycling, refurbishing, and retail outlets, all of which create jobs for people facing barriers to unemployment. In 2010, Amanda helped found Tech Dump as a board member. In 2013, she left her corporate world in a finance job to join the organization. And in 2015, she was named CEO. She has testified before the Minnesota Legislature on the right to repair and is a founding member of the National Impact Recyclers Coalition. She's also won many top business awards and accolades in the Twin Cities market and nationally, including recognition by the Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal as one of the top 50 women in business and as a titan of tech, being named as a 2021 Grist 50 Fixer, more on that to come. And in 2018, Amanda received a Bush Fellowship to pursue her leadership development goals. So thank you, Amanda, for sitting down with me today. I really appreciate this.
Oh, you bet. Thanks, Bee. I'm really glad to be here.
So good to see you. I know we're not even in person today, but it's lovely to see your face. So introduce folks to yourself. I find you marvelous and fascinating and interesting and joyful. And we'd like to know a little bit about your background and before you started at Tech Dump. At Repowered.
I know. It happens to all of us. When you've had a brand for 10 years, it's a practice for your brain to think of a new name. Well, I always joke when I talk about my background that people have to be careful where they volunteer because you just never know when you might find that the volunteer work and the board volunteer work that you're doing is so compelling that it's time for a new adventure. And so I came to Minnesota originally to work for General Mills, and I have so much gratitude for them for all of the ways that I learned about business and marketing and, you know, just those, especially those first few years of professional work. I think, even to learn, like, here's the proper way to send an email and calendar management. And along the way, I started volunteering back when Repowered, now known, at the time was known as Jobs Foundation even, so talk about a lot of different names over the years, when we were founded. And our founding goes back to an incredible person named Darren, who was really generous with his lived experience and his story and shared with two for-profit business partners how hard it was for him to find employment. They were employing him at the time. How hard it had been for him to find employment back in 2010, which also talk about a change. I mean, goodness, the unemployment rates then were skyrocketing compared to our record lows now. And they started learning how hard it was for Darren to find a job because of having a history of incarceration, because of having multiple stints of experiencing homelessness and having gaps on his resume. He had struggled with substance abuse. And so, and looking at the Twin Cities, the land of 10,000 nonprofits, as it's sometimes called, at the time, there were not a lot of work readiness opportunities that were paid. And so part of what was so compelling to me to join and start volunteering and eventually leave my corporate day job was the opportunity to use business in this really powerful way to bring economic empowerment, to make an impact in our local community. And it's a lot of what guides me still.
That is very special and very empowering and encouraging for others. You can make a big difference by starting small and with one person, right? You can change the world. I firmly believe that. And stories like yours are examples of that. Okay, so now I have to ask a question as I was reading through your bio. What in the world is a grist 50 fixer? Does that mean you're 50 years old, or are there only 50 people as special as you?
The white hairs on my head post, well, living through COVID
don't
times
ask that
to tell
question.
You. but a grist 50 fixer is, so grist is an amazing nonprofit environmental news source. And so they provide great journalism, great reporting on the environment. And they've had a practice for quite some time where every year they celebrate 50 individuals that they feel like are helping to fix our community. And so it's it's a national piece. It was a great honor to be recognized last year. And a lot of the organizations that were celebrated are sitting at that intersection of addressing climate change and climate chaos, but doing it in a way that really centers communities that too often have been overlooked in the environmental movement, too often are excluded from our economy. And I think especially as we talk about, you and I have already joked in our first few minutes here about pandemic life and white hairs, but as we come out of this phase, it's looking at how do we make sure that we build back in a way that really supports all of our communities and corrects for some of what's been in the past.
Well, congratulations on that. I mean, we're talking about humble beginnings with significant impacts. And so, so when you introduced yourself, you talked about being in the corporate world. What a great company to start in. And then you transitioned to a social enterprise. Tell us a little bit about that journey in the organization. How long have you been there now? And how did you go from your passion to tying that to actually leading the organization?
Yeah, so I celebrated 9 years as an employee this year, which is just bananas. Time flies when you're having fun. And when you're growing, and we've been doing a lot of growing these past 9 years. And so, when I first came to work at Repowered, my job was to make more people learn about us, which as a startup is way easier than when you've been around for 10 years. Literally, I could wear my t-shirt with a logo on it to Home Depot and was, recruiting new customers. A little trickier as we've gotten larger, but it's just been a true honor over the years to learn right alongside our team and building not only our IT asset disposition business model side, but also working to really provide the type of supports needed as people return into our community. And the reality is right now as a community, we don't do the best job of welcoming people back after they've had a stint of incarceration. And so I think a lot of our work is focused on not only increasing people's earning power and self-efficacy, it's building that confidence that we all are defined by our futures in our community. We all have something to bring. And I think especially these past few years as the Twin Cities especially has tried to figure out where to source talent that maybe hasn't been welcomed into the workplace previously, we've been able to model, clearly you don't found an organization to prove people wrong. Like you found an organization to do awesome work, but along the way we've gotten to prove people wrong in their assumptions that someone having something in their background might make them a lesser than employee. The reality is in these times of constant change, having talent that is incredibly great at problem solving and being agile and navigating incredibly hard systems and persevering and having great, just kind of a great attitude on the state of the world when there's just a lot going on. Employers have really been missing out for a long time. And so it's been fun to bring people along. We've done some really awesome work with Ramsey County and others on trying to help employers that perhaps are exploring or newer to what we call fair chance employment, the practice of employing people with a history of incarceration. We've been trying to share what we've learned over the years, and that's been a really rewarding part of this work. But in the beginning, we were just focused on electronics recycling and refurbishing, and employment was important, absolutely, but never did I think that we would be sort of teaching people what we've learned over the years.
becoming an advocate.
Yeah, exactly.
Really
exactly.
Helping define your organization.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, when you talk about growth, I mean, you've clearly what you're doing is resonating because you're growing. Talk a little bit about that. You know, I understand you've got plans to grow more in 2022 and beyond. You purchased a building in St. Paul. Tell us about that. And now this branding. So how have you grown? What's your trajectory look like moving forward?
Yeah, so we, in 2022, we're up to 90 full-time employees, which is really exciting to celebrate. I'm trying to think so we first came to St. Paul back in 2014. We were on Prior Avenue and in this what now feels like tiny little space. And that was when I first met the St. Paul Chamber. You all were incredibly gracious to a longtime West Sider who needed to learn her way around St. Paul for the first time. Besides, you know, I knew how to get to Casetas and I knew how to get to a Wild game. And that was the extent of my St. Paul knowledge.
Nice.
So I've come so far.
That's a good place to start.
And, yeah. In fact, now I am a Ramsey County resident. I mean, we've really come a long way.
Oh, look at you. Congratulations. Yeah. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. So we bought a building in St. Paul in late 2018. We moved in early 2019. And it was all around the strong feeling that we had a true obligation to grow. Like, it wasn't just a vision of growth. It was that our community was saying, we need you to be bold, we need you to work with urgency, and we need you to lead from a place of possibility. And like, this is not the time to play small. And so our work sits at this intersection of electronic waste, which is the fastest growing waste stream in the world. I mean, that was a statistic before COVID life, which I can only imagine how many devices were added to people's households and workplaces during COVID. So we sit at that intersection of this stuff, these resources that have rare earth metals in them and commodities that can be reclaimed and turned into the next electronic device. And at the same time, we're working with an amazing pool of talent that has what I believe are the skills needed as we talk about the future of work. And so we knew it was time to grow significantly. So we set off with this intention of doubling in size by 2025. We've added, I think, about 20 to 25 headcount since we started that journey. So we're about halfway there, almost. And so much of our work is fueled by St. Paul Chamber members, other neighbors in the Twin Cities, medium size, large size. And we work with even some very large corporations in the Twin Cities. And I think especially in these moments where it can feel really hard for companies to figure out, like, well, what else can we do to impact the local community? Because we're already doing all these things. Like, people don't always think about their IT departments. Mm-hmm. They're having superpowers. Like, it's not just a cost center. It's a resource center of electronics that can be, in our case, by coming to Repower, can be used to fuel work readiness training, can not only pay people great wages, but also give them the learning opportunity that transfers to that next job opportunity. And at the same time, and this is, I think, a piece that people are less aware of with us, we sell affordable refurbished technology. And so through our brick and mortar retail store, which is also in our St. Paul Midway facility, as well as online, we are addressing not only climate change through recycling, but the digital equity challenges in our community that we're, you know, we're even more aware of them during COVID life, where we were educating, working, connecting from home, doing healthcare from home. And so I just really, you know, even if people don't make it to the end of this episode of our podcast together, I just really hope that listeners will think about how they can use their company's IT assets for good, that they don't have to just, you know, keep the same old, same old. There's a lot of impact that can happen there.
I find that really interesting. And it's a lesson for all of us, because we talk about leadership within our own area of operations, if you'll excuse the military reference there, but the idea that you can be a leader in your own space. You know, in our equity series, we're talking a lot about that. Yourself, your organization, and the community. How do you impact change? And you're known for, you know, tackling climate and justice, which are, you'd think, not things that you'd necessarily put together. And as you so eloquently put it, you can take your passion or your particular interest and combine it, and through your passion, impact justice. That is an extraordinary message for all of us. Going back to what you said about when someone's listening, that in your area, whatever you particularly care deeply about, you can do so with a lens of equity and justice and make a difference. And you are at the ground level with individuals, which in and of itself is a revolution. So very, very inspiring. Thank you for that.
Of course.
So now you're this, well, I've also heard you, you know, we were fortunate enough to be part of your big ribbon cutting with that amazing 90,000 square foot facility, which was, and I get all jammed with industrial space. That was pretty exciting for me to be in your space there. You looked very serious and official and, you know, legitimately in the business of, which was cool. And you're also a next generation leader. You know, you're a younger person. Everybody's younger these days, which is a painful adventure for me. But I see you as a next generation leader, and you do so humbly and naturally. And you've had to have gone through a lot of learning in the last couple of years, particularly in the last 2+. What's been some of the most important learning for you as a leader?
Oh, goodness. We could be here for the next hour. A couple I come back to on a regular basis. One, and I work with my team on this all the time, as leaders of our organization, if we are not well, our organization is not well. And I think especially within the social impact space and in the nonprofit space, there's been a history of very much like a martyrdom mentality. And while I can respect how that came to be, I don't think it's serving us well. And it's part of why I think even in the nonprofit space, we're seeing the great reshuffle, great resignation, and so many conversations on burnout, is because I think even societally, we're not set up to take care of ourselves. And so in the last couple of years, I mean, we partner with a mental health group where they come on site and provide paid, like free to our employees. We actually do it on their work time. So they're still on the clock getting paid. It's in our facility. We pay the therapy bill for one-on-one sessions. We also have group processing, also known as group therapy, for groups. And it's just such an important part of being well and being able to lead. And I think the other message that has continued to echo, and especially with early on in COVID life, where I felt like I needed to become a pandemic expert, was there's never really a right or wrong answer. It's just like, what's the next best decision I can make with the information I know at this time? And that was really hard to learn, especially as, like, you know, I worked in finance, so I was trained for a long time.
Right. In finance, like, there's a right answer. And in business, it's just the next right thing.
Exactly. And I think,
totally can appreciate that. Keep going.
Yeah. And especially as a younger CEO, I was 30 when I was named the CEO. There's so many moments I'm like, did they even know what they were doing? but I had this idea that there was like a certain way to be a CEO. And so a lot of my work during my time as CEO has been to realize everyone has a different style, a different approach. They bring a different skill set and experience and expertise. And it's all just around getting comfortable with your own way of leading, whether someone's a CEO or not. Mm-hmm. It's just about finding the way that you want to lead and holding yourself accountable to that. And that sometimes means that it looks a lot different than other organizations, and you got to be okay with that.
Yep. I'm encouraged by that. I completely agree. And then, you know, the other part about leadership, we don't tend to talk about, especially when we share what's going on in our world, you know, we talk about the good stuff or the challenges, but we don't always wrestle with the hard stuff leadership can be lonely. And you say, if you don't have anyone to talk to, and all you do is you see other leaders around you, and you wonder if you're supposed to be that. What would you say has been especially hard about your work as you've built your organization? You know, the stuff that's really challenged you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it always comes back to the people. I love our team, and I think there are some stereotypes for a reason. I was an accounting major. I find data to make a lot of sense to me, and I don't always find humans to make a lot of sense to me. So a lot of my hard moments along the way definitely have included really difficult personnel situations. And a lot of the themes are seeing the potential in someone and what they can accomplish, and yet they're kind of stuck in some old patterns, and they're not moving in the way that I just really hope that they would. We only control ourselves. So it's a hard one. But I think too, there's a piece of the type of work that we do that's very, it's very personal. And so especially early on, we work with a lot of people that are in recovery. And it can be really hard when someone starts to use again. It can be really hard to watch people fall in general into old patterns. And so just coming to terms with the fact of finding the boundary, finding the line of where I as a human and a leader who cares, where we as an organization who cares, like finding that balance. And I think, I'm in a couple of CEO roundtable groups or learning groups, however you want to talk about it. And I feel like the places that we spend the most time sort of issue processing together is almost always connected to people issues. Because they're what makes organizations so great and also so hard. All the same. Both things can be true.
Yeah. Funny you should say that. When I was asked recently about leadership, and I was saying that, 70% of your time is people or more. And I used to have this thing of, as soon as I deal with this issue, I can get to my job. And the day I realized, oh no, that is my job. And that's where I'm supposed to invest my thinking and my time and support. And so don't rush through it, because that's where the magic happens.
Absolutely.
Well, so if others want to partner with you, work with you, how do people find you?
Yeah. Our website is getrepowered.org. Of course, if we all fall into old patterns and go to techdump.org, it will auto redirect you there. So no worries there. But getrepowered.org is a great way to find us, to get involved, whether it's starting to work with us for IT asset disposition and data security services. If it's buying refurbished, I think especially for parents and early stage organizations and nonprofits, buying refurbished computers is really great. We definitely also really appreciate other ways of working to increase the awareness in our community about those who are returning after incarceration and what we can all do to better welcome people back in. And, I also wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't remind that we are a 501c3 nonprofit. I'd like to get connected in that way too.
That's awesome. So companies can call you and say, hey, or for that matter, a parent, I've got a student and I'd like to find a refurbished laptop for my students or for my team, because I'm a startup and I want to invest in the people and figure out a less expensive way to get technology, all those kinds of things. They call you for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it.
Awesome. Can they actually drive over to the Midway site and knock on your door?
Yeah. Yep. And not only can they come to our retail location and shop with us and have quality refurbished items, they can also drop off items for recycling there too. So that same Midway location is all the thing you need.
Yes, because let's talk about that. The St. Paul Area Chamber has used those services. So let's talk about that for just a minute. Recycling of equipment.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody has stuff, whether it's the IT department and there's an entire secret IT storage room of Windows 95 computers.
I know about that. Yeah. Oh.
Well, during COVID, some of my early COVID life, some of the funniest stories were IT professionals that were at the office trying to support everyone working from home. And so they just took over entire cubicles with IT equipment because no one was complaining about it. And then as offices were reopening, they would call us and be like, okay, I need to pick up in the next week because, I should also mention that we also do pickups and a lot of businesses take advantage of that because a lot of our job is to make sure that the life of the IT professional is as easy as possible. They've got a lot of things going on, but we frequently get asked what items we take for recycling, whether it's businesses or individuals. And our easy answer is that we recycle anything with a cable cord or battery that's not a home appliance. So please no washers or dryers or air conditioners, but we see a lot of laptops. We see a lot of desktop computers, monitors, keyboards, whatever that wild combination of cables and cords that no one knows what it goes to anymore. And of course, we've got all that information up on our website at getrepowered.org.
And so folks can reach out to you and feel good about it at the same time because that money is used to reinvest in the future of people.
Exactly.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. So here's a question that I always love. I love because I want to hear your brain. The challenges of planning, is it the next right thing? This is a new normal. We're having to, reset a lot of thinking. Give me 5 words that you'd use to describe your experience of last year, person or professional. What words come to mind?
Ooh. Goodness. I mean, I feel like my 5 words coming to mind are going to really show you what roller coaster of a year it was. Okay, so 5. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Record setting.
Mm.
Exhausting. Encouraging.
Mm.
Mm, a good 5th one. I mean, also, sometimes words are hard.
True.
There's some balance with the encouraging and also a certain, word that definitely comes to mind is endlessness, where it felt like every time that we thought we were through the woods on COVID life, we'd have another positive case or then the variant popped up the endlessness was real.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I think I know a lot of people would absolutely connect with the words you just used. I'm not sure about record setting. So that's a huge congratulations to you. But if you think about it, you're a bit of a countercyclical business, right? I mean, when there are organizations that tend to do well when the common economy is struggling. I mean, look at the 1940s, Woolworth became a national brand during the Great Depression, which is a fabulous story in and of itself. But this countercyclical idea where you have grown tremendously in a season of challenge because that's where you shine. That's quite a story. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I like to ask our guests, why the chamber? You know, I'm a sophomore now in my job, right?
Yeah.
So kind of in the same place. And I'm not a career chamber person. And so I'm endlessly curious about why organizations choose to invest in the chamber. And your answers shape our work, shape my thinking, kind of narrow or adjust our focus. So it's really helpful. How valuable is the chamber to you and why?
Oh my goodness. I can't imagine us being at this size without the chamber. And, we've already joked that I'm a younger leader. When we were moving to St. Paul and somebody told me I should join the chamber, I was like, that's pretty old school. I was blown away at the ability to leverage an established, you all already have the relationships with, at the time, my goal was to get then Mayor Coleman at our wire cutting. Mm-hmm. Well, then we still did ribbon cutting. Along the way, we got smarter. We have more fun with our wire cuttings. But And I was like, how does a person even contact a mayor? Like, I didn't even know. And so it was amazing to come to your team and say, here's the date of our event. And they just ran with it. And at every place that I can point to of where we've really been able to tap into the power of the chamber, it's because you all have a long reputation of doing great partnership work and bringing together in a really efficient way of voices that aren't always at the same conversation, at the same meeting. And some specific examples coming to mind are even some recent conversations on public safety, which in our Midway neighborhood, I think we have a very different view of than maybe some of our neighbors, and yet we could have a really robust conversation and get that feedback channeled to a place that could bring change. And the other piece is, I think that there's something about, you know, you all just attract good humans. And so a lot of our longtime partners and people that we collaborate with are connected to the chamber. And the final piece that comes to mind, especially early in our journey when we were still trying to get people to know us, although, you know, a new name, we started all that over again. But when we were in our early tech dump phases, just being able to leverage events and just all the ways that members can get their brand built and name out was really impactful to partner with you all for it.
You know, it's really interesting to me because if you're familiar with Colin's book, Good to Great, he talks about find your hedgehog, you know, your who are you and your deepest self, and go do that 90 miles an hour because no one can do that better than you. And it allows you to free yourself. You talked about this earlier. It frees yourself from doing what other people are built to do. You know, and when you put it within the context of a body, there's already a thumb. Maybe I'm an elbow. So go do that. Go be an elbow. But that's just not a good marketing pitch. So let's not use that. But you see what I mean, right? And for us, our hedgehog, our, you know, our mission that we do better than anybody else, and we do it without apology, is this idea of creating connections that count, which I thought at first was a rather modest goal. And yet it's extraordinary because, as you say, bringing people together to do extraordinary things is really an opportunity, an honor, really, to be able to do. And so the fact that you're an example of, we've been able to be a small part of your amazing journey, I celebrate that. I'm glad you said that out loud. So thank you.
Of course. Of course. Our conversation, I know we're wrapping up, but I wanted to throw in one last thought. I was reminded of one of my favorite quotes. It's from Howard Thurman. And he says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. And go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And I think that's such an important part of this business community is, like, let's do the things that bring us joy and help us come alive. And you all are a big part of that.
That's marvelous. I wrote that down. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. What makes you come alive? That's a joyful thing to see. And you're a joyful person to watch. Because of that.
Right back at you.
Well, as you know, we run out of time and I could talk to you forever. And so I'm just grateful that we did have a moment. So thanks for taking the time to chat with me and introduce your rebranded social enterprise that brings you joy and makes you come alive. And we get to watch that and work with you and hire you. And so thank you for taking the time with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us. And thanks for all the ways that we have already worked together and all the ways to come.
Yes, indeed. And thank you for joining us for Bee's Table Talk. We have more conversations in the weeks ahead, speaking to business leaders in the greater MSP region, hearing from them on how their companies are adapting to deal with COVID-19 and the recovery that we're in the middle of. And, you know, how you're paying it forward in the community. So thanks to all of you, and we will see you in the trenches.